Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second quarter conference call hosted by Tom Rogan. My name is Mark, and I'm your conference coordinator for today's call. Throughout the conference, your lines will be on listen only, but should you require assistance any time, please key star and zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this call is recorded. And now I'd like to hand the call over to Tom Rogan. Go ahead, please, Tom.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call for the second quarter. I'm Tom Rogan, I'm Head of Investor Relations. I'm joined by the CEO, Sven Ombudstvedt, and the CFO, Rune Sollie, and also Head of Accounting, Knut Eriksen. Firstly, now the CEO will have a short introductory comments on the summary of the result, and then we'll open up for Q&A.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The second quarter 2014 for Norske Skog was quite uneventful in the sense that there was very few unexpected things happening and very few transactions in the quarter, as we've gotten used to several things interfering with our results over the last two quarters. This quarter was more normalized in the sense we have the ramp-up of the lightweight coated machine that we converted in Australia happened in the quarter. Otherwise, we have benefited compared to the first quarter from lower fiber and energy costs, mainly as a result of the investments and efficiency works that we have done. Price to input factors remain relatively stable. So all in all, a quarter where the direction was good from the first quarter. And also marked by a positive free cash flow before financial items. We have, as always, paid a significant part of our annual interest cost in the second quarter this year, about 440 million NOK. In addition, we have redeemed the high-yield NOK bonds, yielding more than 15%. So those are now history as of the end of June. So for the remainder of the year, we have about 150 million of interest cost to be paid in the fourth quarter and 185 million of NOK bond, the 5.4% coupon, which will be redeemed in October. So that's very, very briefly some of the highlights for the second quarter, and we will now be happy to open up for the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star and one on your telephone keypad. Questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. So just to recap, to ask a question, key star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Giuliano Torri. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Hello. Well, thanks for taking my question. I have three questions here. Could you please explain the trends of utilization in the industry and in your own company? It seems that the utilization this quarter is slightly lower than last quarter. And I was wondering if you could also maybe give a view on what, how this could develop, you know, during the rest of the year. So that's the first question. Second question is, could you please explain what kind of impact are you seeing from the recovery in Europe on the demand for newsprint and magazine? And how do you expect that to play out during the rest of the year? So that's question number two. Question number three is, could you please update on the trend for demand, prices, and profitability in Australasia? I understand that, you know, you had significant pressure in the past, but, you know, it seems that you have a new machine there now. Thank you.
Okay, let's start with the utilization. If we start with the industry utilization in Europe, we have for the first half year, newsprint utilization is about 91%. On the magazine grades, the uncoated and coated were in the low 80s, so around 82-83%. If you look at our own utilization, we are at 88% in the quarter in total, and a little bit higher in Australia, a little bit lower in Europe. The main reason for what may appear to be a lower utilization rate for us is the fact that we took out the machine that was not operational under conversion in Australia in the first quarter, so all in all, the utilization rates remain relatively stable. The utilization rates for the rest of the year for the industry is expected to improve somewhat as we have a positive seasonal effect on volumes in the second half compared to the first half. For us, I think we will have a slightly higher utilization rate at the second quarter, and indeed part of the summer we still have some holiday stops on the machines, but probably third quarter similar to this quarter, and fourth quarter a little bit higher again, slightly, but no big changes. If you look at the recovery in Europe, you're absolutely right that we see some on a positive effect of the macro recovery. And the decline rates in Europe are somewhat less than what we saw last year. We are now, sort of, if you include improved newsprint and newsprint category, we're talking about the demand decline of 1-2%. On the magazine side, altogether, -4%, very quoted, a little bit better than uncoated. So we see some positives here, and I think we also going forward, we see that the positive effect on the macro in Europe, particularly on inserts and direct mailing papers, so for some of the FCG papers and for the improved newsprint in particular, but also in general for all types of graphic papers. In Australia, domestically, if you include New Zealand in the region, we have seen bomb drops of 3-4%. This is based on shift volume, so it's a little bit inaccurate compared to the actual demand. In Australia itself, we have seen a flat demand for catalog and magazine papers. While newsprint demand in the first half is down about 9%. This is a significant improvement from last year, where we saw in this quarter a decline of almost 18%. And for the year, we now expect to see figures of maybe minus 10 compared to last year, minus 15. So it's still negative, but a much less sharp decline than we saw last year. So it's indeed the first sign of more stability, even if it's still negative for this year, before we expect sort of also here a flattening out of the drops.
And the next question comes from the line of Linus Larsen. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you very much, and very good afternoon. In the first quarter, you had three simultaneous restructuring initiatives which burden your EBITDA at Valsum, Cybrex, and Boyer, and all of those three issues improved or eased in the second quarter. But is there more to come in the third quarter? If you go through these three projects, what delta is there, if any, in Q3 compared to Q2, please?
Yes. If you look at the three projects, the Holsten project and the Cedric project have basically contributed fully from the second quarter. The Boyer project, there is still a little bit of a delta. We ramped up and started production on the 9th of April, and we basically spent April to be able to produce the kind of quality and the grammage that the customers actually require. So you could say there is, compared to a full quarter, only two-thirds were taken out in the second quarter in regards to Boyer. So there is a positive delta on the Boyer project itself.
Would you, that's helpful, and would you care to quantify how big the delta was in Q2 on Q1 at Boyer, and maybe even what you expect in Q3 on Q2?
I don't think that they can give you sort of a precise number, apart from the fact that they have obviously said what the investment is, and they've said it's a payback of 3.5 to 4 years, so you can probably make your own calculations. I don't want to go into the extreme details, since there's a lot of other factors also going, could go in different directions. Mm.
But at least I take it that, if you look at the whole business area, the EBIT improvement was some 25 million krona or so. Would it be fair to say that Boyer was, the bulk of that improvement if you look at Q2 on Q1?
I think you should probably go back to the investment calculation and calculate roughly what you expect this to be for the quarter, and you can say that you have 2 out of 3 months in operations for the second quarter, and you'll have 3 quarters going forward. There is too many moving parts, particularly on the currency side, to be able to be too specific on the millions.
Sure, no problem. And speaking of currency, that's my next question. If you look at either the second quarter year-on-year or the first half of the year, how much currency tailwind would you estimate that you have in your reported EBITDA figure?
We don't have too much currency tailwind. I think it's a NOK weakening, which we like, of course, for the competitiveness of our Norwegian mills. It's mainly happening towards the end of the second quarter, so you get an immediate impact on the translation of the debt. But we, so far, we don't really have too much headwind from that part. Now, obviously, if this continues going forward, we would like that the Norwegian mills will then see a significant improvement. You know that we have said 1% is on 20, 25 million on annualized EBITDA, and the movements were sort of 2 to 3% now just recently. So if that stays for a year, obviously, that's a significant positive.
That's great. A detail on your second quarter, the other operations line was stronger than it has been in the past. Is there anything in particular happening there? What should we expect going forward?
On the other line, if you look at the costs, we have less costs on the corporate. That's the main difference with all the quarters. We still expect sort of the cost of the corporation after internal invoicing to be per quarter about minus 20. This quarter it was somewhat better, and this is due to timing effects on invoices, and when we do things with a little bit of a coincidence, but we should certainly, this is probably a little bit too good this quarter, but then it could happen in other quarters. We have seen a consistent reduction of headquarter costs as we have been cutting manpower, and this continues to be the case. But I think it was a little bit too good in this quarter because of some timing of some invoices.
But are you saying that your best guess for the time being would be in total around 20 million krona negative for this line?
The only real activity which is left in others is the residual corporate cost, the shareholder cost, and that is probably going to be around 20 million per quarter.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Edmund Dalmawa. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Could you please confirm how much of the receivables facility is still left undrawn at the end of this quarter?
Yeah, we can, first of all, we can remind everyone what these receivables facilities are. So we have facilities now in Norway with a total frame of 250 million NOK, and we have a facility in France with a total frame of 40 million euros in France, and we are working on a facility in Austria, which is not yet there. So the Norwegian one and the French one are in place, and we have probably utilized some 75 to 80% of these facilities if you look at them in conjunction. But this is not really, it's also to do with the value of the receivables. So it can fluctuate a little bit almost from day to day, but with the present with the present trading conditions, this is probably roughly where it's going to be.
And as of the second quarter, 75 to 80% of the capacity has been used. Okay. And what's your sense around when you think the additional facility will be?
During this quarter, during the third quarter.
Okay. And what about could you give us a refresh guidance on what you think the working capital development should be this for the remainder of the year? For the whole year, what's is it a slightly positive number, or give us a sense around that, and also for CapEx for the year, please?
Yes, we can give a sense that we have released a little bit of working capital now in the second quarter, despite the build-up in isolation for the magazine paper in Australia. Yet it was a positive number now. After the third quarter, it's probably not going to be a positive number, but it's going to be sort of not a big negative either. It was slightly, probably neutral to slightly negative, as we have the biggest sales month is traditionally October. And then again, we will release towards the year end. So I would probably guess that the net release in the second half is somewhere between 100 and 200 million.
Okay. And what about for CapEx?
For the CapEx now after the project on an annualized basis is about 250 million. We spent very, very little in the second quarter, but this is also slightly technical as we received some of the government funding for the energy efficiency program in Halden was received also here, so we had actually a positive cash influx on the CapEx line for that project in the quarter. So we will probably be this year somewhere between 250 and 300 for the full year.
Okay, great. Those are the only two questions I have. Thank you.
The next question comes from Giulio Lozori. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my question again. I have a follow-up question. You mentioned that 70 to 80% of your company's facilities have been utilized. I just wanted to confirm that this cash is actually flowing through your cash flow statement via the change in operating working capital. And essentially, you know, and it would effectively mean that, you know, before this account receivable facility or working capital variation would have been very negative, so if you could explain what happened.
It's flowing through the financing part of it. It's not in the operational cash flow, it's shown in the financing.
Oh, okay, yeah, because, you know, in my experience, a lot of the companies that have these facilities, especially they sell these receivables, you know, and the result, you know, it shows into the, you know, receivables, you know, reduction of receivables, so, you know, an inflow from working capital. So you're saying that's not how you're doing it, is that right?
Oh, it's part of the new loans range we
okay.
Financing.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for the clarification.
The next question comes from the line of Linus Larsen. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my question. I just wanted to ask about paper pricing for the second half of the year. How far have you come? And I also would like to hear your view on market price directions. We get reports of prices eroding in Europe in both newsprint and magazine. Do you see that as well? And if so, to what extent?
I think the best thing now in the summer is the curse of the first quarter. That means that the German prices were settled late, which obviously was a curse in the first quarter. There's a blessing now, so we don't have to negotiate them again, so most of these contracts are done for a longer period of time. So I think when we said this morning that we see a flat price picture, that is partly influenced by that Germany is not really negotiating for the time being, for the second half, which leaves basically the UK as the largest area now with more strict sort of follow the calendar on the negotiations. UK had the price improvements, the significant price improvements in the first quarter, and we've seen some erosion in some of the UK customers, but I think the overall price trends are still quite stable and neutral in Europe. This is on the back of a relatively strong utilization for newsprint. When it comes to super calendar, we also see quite a flat price. We see some customers who shop around and may have reduced prices, but we're not really into that. On the lightweight coated side, we have seen some slippage in compared to the beginning of the year, with maybe 10 to 15 euros per ton. We're a little bit careful to guide too much on the lightweight coated, as we see that the wood free market balance is improving and people are announcing price improvements from September onwards on the coated wood free side, which that we interpret positively, obviously, and this will also help a little bit the substitution possibilities and thus support lifeline coaches markets going forward. So I think all in all, we still see quite a stable development on pricing, and we are slightly encouraged by the route 3.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Edward Stembridge. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thank you, and good afternoon. Just a few questions and maybe a small comment from my side, if I may. The change in reporting, this now means that I think there's a bit less visibility on the underlying performance of the business by, you know, different types of categories of paper. Do you plan to, you know, provide a bit more color on that? Is it possible to provide more color on that going forward, like, you know, the price and volume breakdown between the magazine, SC, LWC, and newsprint?
I don't think that we're coming back on the reporting. So now we follow up the business on two business systems, the European business system and the Australasian business system. So this will have to be the way we report the figures.
Okay. I think you commented on the outlook for prices in Europe, but what about Australasia?
Yeah, the Australasian market for newsprint, we have long-term contracts now running up until 2020, so the pricing is set there. So you have a fixed price on those contracts with long-term raw material contracts. You could say that in reality we have a set margin per ton, but we take the volume risk. Obviously the volumes the last few years have been the volumes, so that's why the performance is structured in that area. The pricing for newsprint is set when it comes to the magazine part of the business, which is now increasingly important for us after the Boyer conversion. We see pricing which is influenced still a little bit by the fact that almost two-thirds of the market is still being imported despite our domestic production. So we see levels which are sort of import parity plus on our levels, which are somewhat stronger in the second half than they have been in the first 6 months, also driven a little bit by currency shifts and the fact that we can surcharge a little bit for being a domestic producer. So we're slightly positive for price improvements in the second half of the year.
Okay. And I know that you're due to receive a break fee in Australasia next quarter. Can you remind us how much that is?
We haven't disclosed the actual figure, but it's a meaningful figure, I should say, in terms of both in NOK and in Australian dollars. But we have not disclosed exactly, since it's two counterparties and a commercial agreement, we have not disclosed the exact number.
Okay, but you know, $200 million NOK, or is it $100 million, and what kind of, you know, boundary?
I cannot disclose the figure, but since we mentioned it, it's a meaningful figure. It's not changed, but we cannot tell the exact orders.
Okay, then just a final question from my side, if I may. You seem to be making progress on the fixed costs, which were at, I think, 710 million for the quarter. How low do you think you can drive this cost down?
Without any portfolio changes, I think we, in the short term time frame, we can probably take out another 50 million per quarter. So from 700 to 1 million per quarter to about 650 is with the cost reduction initiatives that we are doing now. If you want to go much beyond that, which is sort of a 7-8% reduction, I think we have to see portfolio changes in the business or investments.
Okay. And I'm sorry, just finally, what underpins your view of stable variable costs in the second half of the year?
What underpins this is partly that we have for two-thirds of the energy and fiber costs, we have long-term contracts. And I think also the energy costs in Europe are still relatively favorable for consumers. And then we don't really see a lot of upward changes in recovered paper either. So most of our big categories we see been an okay development from a consumer point of view.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are currently no further questions in the queue.
And I would like to thank everyone for joining in on this call, and we'll be coming to London for a roadshow Monday and Friday and Monday, tomorrow and Monday, and also going to New York next week. See you then, maybe. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the conference call, and you may now disconnect. Thank you all for joining us today.